it has made me wonder whether, so interesting, this whole sort of factor is drawing us into these reflections on, it's been done before, what makes you so special? You can do it. You just apply yourself. That's all you need to do. You just need to apply yourself. And I was thinking that part of our culture at the moment, the Western culture, is to think we're different. So maybe it's a bit harder for us to think, if someone's done it before, we can do it. We always like to think, well, there's a lot of emphasis, isn't there, on individuality, on individualism. So we always like to think we're slightly different from the other person. In general, we're just the same. So how would it be if someone was to step into your room or step next to your meditation cushion and say, oh God, yeah, I used to get angry like that, just like you. You know how I saw you in the kitchen? That's just, I used to be just like that. And you know that idiot of a person you fell in love with the other week? That's the sort of person I used to fall in love with. How would it be if somebody did all that and then said, and look at me, I'm only once more for this life. I've gone through huge amounts of change. I'm not going to turn back now. This is me. How would that be if somebody really was able to reflect that back for you? So in this factor, this Vasubandhu's factor, we're being asked to drop any views that we have that holds us back from an effective relationship with our vision. What is the view that we have about ourselves that keeps that relationship vague, distant, and our vision's unachievable, unattainable? So in the first factor, paragraph, we're told the Buddhas, when they first started on their way to enlightenment, were not quite free of passions and sins any more than we are at present, but they finally succeeded in attaining enlightenment. So basically, they just started out like us. No difference. Same basic drives, cravings, hatreds, but they gained enlightenment by working with that. So in other words, it's saying, don't use the excuse that you are more limited, more greedy, more hateful. Just engage with it. Just get on with it. You don't know whether you're more of anything at all. You might actually be a lot less. Just, don't use the fact that you've got limitations to hold you back. And then, by the strength of their inflexible spiritual energy, we're capable of attaining perfect enlightenment. If enlightenment is attainable at all, why should I not attain it? So the Buddhas attained enlightenment simply because they applied themselves. So why shouldn't it be possible for me if I apply myself? There's this nice story, which probably most of you know, about Bhante at a wishing well. Some of you know this story. I can't remember if he's travelling in the States or if he's travelling in Europe. But he comes to this wishing well and he tosses a coin into it, or something like that. He makes a wish anyway. And somebody says to him, did you wish for enlightenment? As you would do. And he said, no, he said, enlightenment's guaranteed. I wished for £1 million. Because £1 million is not guaranteed at all. Anything could happen. But it's an interesting angle, isn't it? Because we assume the opposite. We think if we really applied ourselves, we could make a lot of money. But enlightenment is something vague out there, which, that's very haphazard. Whether that is attainable or not is very haphazard. But what he's saying is the opposite. He said, the worldly life is very precarious. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You could make a lot of money and lose it the next day. You could get ill and not be able to work or whatever. There's a lot of things beyond your control. But enlightenment is within your control. And if you apply yourself, it's guaranteed. So don't wish for enlightenment. Wish for something else. As long as you're applying yourself. All the Buddhas, erecting high the torch of wisdom through the darkness of ignorance and keeping awake an excellent heart, submitted themselves to penance and mortification, and finally emancipated themselves from the bondage of the triple world. Following their steps, we too could emancipate ourselves. So following their steps, practicing the Dharma. If we make it doesn't matter if we make mistakes, we're not treading on the middle way, we're probably not going to be doing that anyway. We too can still achieve enlightenment. We're still going to get there. So don't worry about getting it right all the time. All of us are going to be practicing with our own samskaras anyway, so we're probably not going to be treading the middle way all the time. So the Buddha successfully crossed the great ocean of birth and death and of passions. Why then, we being creatures of intelligence, could also cross over the sea of transmigration? I'm intelligent enough. Why shouldn't it be possible for me to gain enlightenment? I have all the faculties required. Why not? All the Buddhas, manifesting great spiritual power, sacrificed their possessions, body and life, for the attainment of omniscience, and we too could follow their noble examples. So could I not just give up a few short-term pleasures for a long-term, the long-term gain of enlightenment? Why couldn't I just do that? Isn't it just a few things I could just do without? It's so interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's a whole different subject of renunciation and everything like that, but a lot of the things that we possess or that we hanker after really don't matter too much. What does matter is that we're just continually feeding a thread of consciousness in us that's going in the wrong direction, and that's what we're really working with. So can I not just give up a few things in order to turn my mind towards something else?